Do you dream of seeing all 30 ballparks? We've got you. For the first time, MLB and T-Mobile offer you a chance to win trips to all 30 stadiums. Yes, all 30. The views, the food, the vibe, the adventure of a lifetime. With experiences you simply need to see to believe. Enter now.
Begin your journey to 30 at MLB.com/journey to 30 sweeps. No purchase necessary. Ends 9/7/2026. Restrictions apply. Food not included. See official rules for details.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast, where we count down the most insane things of the week. One caveat: they have to be things we've never seen before, or things we've never seen in our lifetime. And of course, the most insane thing every week is that I can do this every Friday. Let's dive right in with insane thing number four. Never forget the cardinal rule. Everything that the left touches, it either co-opts for the movement or destroys. We understand this fundamentally. That's why in red states, we fight so hard to keep left-wing ideas, people, policies out of our schools and our organizations and our laws. But they still find ways to seep in where we're not paying attention and to destroy everything they touch. Enter two insane statistics. From the New York Post this week, more than, get this, 25% of young adults in the U.S. are estranged from one or both parents, or have been recently. That's according to a recent study published in the Journal of Marriage and Family. 25%. And that's at least in part because of this new theory taking over psychological therapy that instead of working with the patient to improve or repair their damaged relationships with their family members, they should just simply cut off family members who are viewed as toxic for their own, you know, mental health. Folks, this is causing an unprecedented level of destruction of the American family, or rather the severing of the bonds between young adult children and their parents at the suggestion of their therapists. And the numbers are not small. They're jaw-dropping. Among some 7,000 estranged parents surveyed in April, a third say they believe their adult child's therapist influenced or recommended the decision to end the relationship. And what is driving this? Do I even need to tell you? The overwhelmingly liberal nature of therapists. Carl Pilmer, family sociologist, professor of human development at Cornell, attributed the rifts increasingly to, quote, growing generational tensions over politics and social issues. Let me translate. In the past, we saw political differences as just that. Political differences. Every family had them. Today, the left sees the other side as, well, quite frankly, Nazis. And so can you have a productive relationship with a Nazi, i.e. your mom, who voted for Trump? No, Nazis are always toxic, so of course should be cut off. What's changing now, the Wall Street Journal reports, is the bar for what's deemed abusive enough for a cutoff. Quote, we're in a culture where we emphasize fragility. Hell, I'd say we celebrate it. Everything becomes trauma. And the solution increasingly is to split and leave, says William Doherty, a therapist, professor emeritus of family and social science at the University of Minnesota, who's researched the ways that therapy might be harmful. Quote, but it should be the tragic exception that you cut off a parent or loved one, not business as usual in therapy. And he says for generations, the only time really, I mean, you'd cut off an abusive parent who literally sexually or physically abused you, and in extremely rare cases, an emotionally abusive parent, but it was very rare. Again, we now have 25% of young adults who've basically ghosted or cut off their parents, and a third of those parents saying it was the therapist. And folks, I just want to read the opening on this Wall Street Journal article because it's just unbelievable. Shoshana Rubley was shocked by her therapist's advice given in her second session But the counselor was recommended by someone she knew and had impressive credentials, so she did what she was told. She cut off all ties with her mother. It was an argument made from authority, so I followed it, said the 42-year-old freelance marketer, and I might add, moron. Is it really good therapy to break your mother's heart? After decades of urging families to communicate better and work on their issues together, therapists are now taking the opposite tack. They're encouraging estrangement as means of self-care. Why am I bringing this up in a normally political podcast? As a warning, this is not usually an area where we think we need protection from. And folks, you wouldn't believe the texts I got this week as I talked about this from people who made the mistake of dropping their child off at a therapist without really backgrounding the person. And I'm talking go on their social media, see what their politics is, see who they hate, because that's what they may be warping your child's mind to. Now, look, therapists can be great, too. I'm sure they are wonderful therapists probably listening to this podcast. But when you rack up numbers, estrangement-wise, this big, something else is going on here. One of the texts I got this week that was the most heartbreaking was from a man who says he loves or loved his wife very much, but they had some arguments, some marital tensions. It was his idea for them to go to see the therapist. And the therapist, who was female, behind his back, advised his wife, talked his wife into divorcing him. He emphasized, look, we just went there to reconcile, you know, our differences. And he said, I love my wife very much. I never would have suggested therapy if I had any idea that it would lead to that. Folks, you've got to be careful the power you give to these people. Therapy is an incredibly subjective science. And again, like everything the left gets its hands on, it warps or destroys.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Insane thing number 3. We haven't even buried Lindsey Graham yet. And already, the super PACs that make up his machine are pledging big bucks to elect his sister, Darlene Graham. Like the Security and Strength PAC, just announced the first tranche of money it'll spend, $900,000. The Security and Strength PAC, by the way, has already bought $620,000 worth of TV and digital advertising in support of Graham's candidacy. And while the general Republican voting public may not have any idea what Graham stands for, because we're told she doesn't have much of a record, it's super duper weird because PBS seems to know how she'll vote. They practically endorsed her this week with a glowing piece after they interviewed people she worked with, friends and family. They seem to think she's the greatest. That's PBS, the liberal government-funded or used to be news network. I'll put the link so you can see it. Folks, it's practically an endorsement. Who else practically endorsed her? Democrat, former number two in leadership of the Democrat Party, Jim Clyburn, who's still a Democrat in Congress, tweeted a glowing tweet in support of her. Folks, I'm here to tell you that Clyburn isn't just saying this because her brother just died. There is no way, dead brother or not, Clyburn ever tweets anything like this about a true conservative, someone like, say, Ralph Norman. Clyburn tweeted, "Congratulations to Senator Darlene Graham Nordone on this historic achievement. Her appointment marks a significant milestone for our state. A 2009 graduate of South Carolina State University, that is a very liberal, historically black university, it's over 90% black, Senator Graham Nordone becomes the first woman and the first HBCU graduate to represent South Carolina in the U.S. Senate. This is a testament to the progress our nation continues to make in expanding opportunities for women to serve at the highest levels of office." Yeah, no way. Number two in Democrat leadership tweets that about a conservative. Folks, we may not know how she'd vote, but these people sure seem to. But wait, isn't she endorsed by Trump? Yes. In South Carolina, for whatever reason, Trump always endorses the worst candidates that hate him and us the most. And I suspect it's for the reason I just told you. That super PAC, combined with two others, spent $50 million trying to defeat Mark Lynch in the last race just a few weeks ago. These people got a ton of money. I have no doubt Trump fundraisers with and from them or owes them. But you cannot trust Trump as a source on who you should vote for in South Carolina. He always endorses the absolute worst candidate. And ironically, he's endorsed her. But folks, the worst came this week when she was on her way to a vote, because she's a sitting senator now, and a reporter tried to ask her a simple question about the SAVE Act, which she claims she supports. And she ran from him. She wouldn't take his questions. Well, 24 hours later, it became kind of obvious why. Her campaign and her Twitter feed was putting out a list of all the abortion bills she thinks are just great. Bills she says she supports, pro-life bills. Of course, she's nowhere on the record supporting a single one of them. I think they meant it as an example of, hey, she would have supported this. But when she had one chance on abortion, what did she do? Darlene Graham's only ever made two political contributions in her entire life, both of them to the same woman, Katrina Sheely. She was a member of the state Senate here in the state of South Carolina. She's not anymore because she became infamous for being the leader of the Senate Sisters, a pro-abortion, pro-choice group of liberal female senators in our state Senate. That was a handful of Republican women, some Democrat women, and an independent woman. In an article in the Daily Beast this morning, headline, Darlene Graham busted, going all in on pro-choice. They describe how after Senator Sheely personally filibustered the heartbeat bill here in South Carolina, a very pro-life, very anti-abortion bill, she filibustered it to block it in its tracks. She came, understandably, under attack in the Republican primary, because that's not a very Republican thing to be doing. She would also ultimately be defeated by an actual conservative who was actually pro-life. Darlene Graham's donation came after her famous filibuster in an attempt to save her. But it's worse than that. The two are said to be best friends, with Katrina Sheely often joining Darlene Graham for wine on the back porch, where I suppose they pass pro-choice nothings amongst themselves. Folks, this is not how Republican women behave. And you know why? Because she's not. She's, at a minimum, a liberal Republican, if not a full-scale Democrat. And folks, this is a woman who's spent most of her career as a liberal bureaucrat in South Carolina government. This is the woman who ran the Commission on the Blind and somehow managed to get the board to increase her salary from $98,000 in 2019 to $160,000 that's what she was supposed to get next year. Her salary this year, $138,000. She also, by the way, doubled the size of the agency, showing she loves big government spending. Folks, this is not who we need to elect. Again, as the Daily Beast reports, her donations will deepen a crisis of confidence among MAGA's avowedly pro-life voters and comes as she faces a crisis of confidence among MAGA's avowedly pro-life voters. State records show Darlene Graham made a $100 donation to Senator Katrina Sheely in October 19, 2023. Again, that was after Sheely stopped anti-abortion legislation in a high-profile move, which it would seem impossible for Graham not to have known about when she gave. Insane thing number two. When it comes to the Democrats, we know the votes are fake. That's what last week's Battleground America podcast was about. Well, along with, you know, help from Chinese hackers and fake driver's licenses. You know that whole story. We've been telling it for a while. But lesser known is the fact that the donors are fake, too. Act Blue is the big donation clearinghouse in the Democrat Party. So if you want to donate to a Democrat Senate candidate, you go to actblue.com, find him, and then drop your donation into his campaign. You can also donate to Democrat-aligned groups and Democrat causes there. Well, as you know, Democrat socialist candidate Abdul Al-Sayed, who hates you, hates America, and loves socialism, is running for office in Michigan. And his top donor by numbers of donations is a sweet little lady, 88-year-old lady by the name of Elizabeth Waffle. Well, a reporter for the Michigan Enjoyer thought he'd look her up and discovered a very strange thing that went viral on X. She had donated $150,000 in 15,000 donations since 2019 to all kinds of Democrat candidates. Someday she'd just sit there all day long and make $5, $10, $15 donations. So the reporter sought her out, since that seemed kind of strange. And probably also because in recent months, the entire legal team at ActBlue quit because they said they warned the leadership they were illegally taking foreign donations. By the way, every foreign donation you knowingly take is a felony. You can't take foreign donations. And that they were poorly disguised as not foreign donations. Anyway, the legal team quit and said the leadership was ignoring their advice not to take them anymore. Well, that led to Congress hauling the leadership of ActBlue in, almost all of whom have quit too, and putting them under oath. And they famously pled the fifth throughout the entire hearing. And what did he find from sweet little Alice Waffle? Yes, she said she was a Democrat donor and she'd made a handful of small donations over the years. But $150,000? Folks, as you hear this audio, picture this. She lives on a rundown lot filled with trash in a tiny little trailer, the kind that you hook up to the back of a truck, not a like real residential trailer. And she's clearly, obviously, grindingly poor.
15,000 separate donations on the computer. Did you make 15,000 donations in 5 years? $150,000?
$150,000? Hell no. I don't have that kind of money.
Somebody does. What do you want to bet? It's the Chinese Communist Party. Their interview, very enlightening interview, continued.
Do you have internet?
Sometimes.
Sometimes?
Yeah.
Do you have a computer?
No.
No? So how could you make all these donations?
I don't know. Are these all mine?
Yes, this is. There's 900 pages. I ran out of paper to print it on. Yeah, all of these.
This isn't the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, or ninth, or tenth. In fact, Christopher Rufo and others have made practical careers after tracking these people down. And what it seems like they're doing in the Democrat Party is they're taking actual legitimate donors, and Waffle is a legitimate donor, who've given once or twice elderly people, and then making thousands of small donations in their name, which clearly looks like they're laundering money. She's just the latest to get a knock on our door and react in surprise to finding out how much she's donated, including, by the way, to candidates she's never heard of.
Not $150,000, though.
I can't believe it.
And not 15,000 times.
Yeah.
And you have spotty internet. What's this one? Aaron Rugenberg?
Rugenberg. That name doesn't ring a bell.
Doesn't ring a bell, huh?
Doesn't mean a bill at all.
$150,000 is abnormal.
$150,000 is very abnormal, and I think it's wrong. I think there's something in there that's off.
By the way, ActBlue is under federal investigation, as is the subject of Insane Thing number one this week, the state of New Jersey. Think of this as the thread that could break the whole thing the heck open. So last week, we learned from Donald Trump something that's not shocking to you guys. I've been talking about it for a year, but that the FBI's own now declassified internal assessment was that Iran and China were hacking boards of elections in 18 states, downloading the internal information. And then China was, of course, using the information to create fake driver's licenses, mail them into the country in order to commit mass mailing absentee ballot fraud to get Joe Biden elected. That's not what I say, they thought. That's literally what their classified assessment said. Then they scrubbed it off the server, lied to Congress and said there was no interference by China here, just in the UK, and kept the whole thing from Donald Trump. Well, as part of Trump's speech, he mentioned the 278,000 illegal immigrants illegally registered to vote in federal elections.
According to the DHS review, state voter rolls and public records, they identified approximately 278,000 non-citizens who are registered to vote in federal elections. Since Democrat states refused to share their voter files, the real number is actually much higher than that.
Now, keep in mind, those 278,000, that's just in four states. One of them is New Jersey. Now, at this point, you might be a little confused. You might have thought, well, haven't I heard in the past that cities are registering illegals to vote? Isn't that legal? Yes, unfortunately, it is in city elections, in local elections. It is hardcore illegal for an illegal immigrant or even a person here who's not a U.S. citizen who's legally here on a visa. You cannot vote in a federal election. In other words, not for Senate, not for House, not for president. So these are illegals who were on the federal voter rolls. Every one of those registrations is a felony. Again, the number he used, 278,000, was just in four Democrat states. One of them was New Jersey. So for the next four business days, Democrats obviously went wild denying that based on, well, no information or facts of any kind and saying he made it up and he's crazy. You know, the typical stuff for them. Until Trump forced New Jersey to put up or shut up, which resulted in something we've never seen before. The state of New Jersey's governor admitting, okay, there might have been 6,600 illegal immigrants who were signed up, who were registered to vote in federal elections in our state. But Mickey Sherrill, the governor, claimed that it was because of a glitch in the software of a company that they had hired to process driver's license applications. Of course, at the end of the driver's license, you have to check if you're a citizen or not. Well, the lie she told was that the company, a French contractor, there'd been a glitch and these people had said they were non-citizens, but they had been, you know, sent to and registered anyway. Well, the company immediately fired back, providing proof that she was lying when she said this.
And weren't eligible to vote, but the software registered them anyway. The error in the software was corrected a year later in June of 2024. That is more than 2 years ago. I learned of this last Wednesday, and I immediately ordered my chief counsel.
One problem. Politico, a liberal media outlet, reports that's just simply not true. All 6,600 illegal immigrants checked, not a citizen. They weren't miscoded anywhere. There's no software glitch. And the French company called IDEMIA is already outside the contract with the state and doesn't seem to mind telling the truth. Quote, all 6,600 individuals indicated no to being a U.S. citizen. The information was recorded correctly and always available to the MVC, that's the Motor Vehicle Commission, there in New Jersey, via the database that the Motor Vehicle Commission utilized to gather voter information and transmit it to the division of elections. At no point was a non-citizen ever marked as a citizen in the database. And IDEMIA, the contractor, provided their records of that to Politico. What does that mean? The Democrats who run the Board of Elections there, the Division of Elections for New Jersey, just ignored the fact that they were non-citizens and registered them to vote federally. That's 6,600 felonies for anybody keeping track. Incredibly, despite Politico reporting that, the governor is still repeating the glitch lie, the software mistake lie, which she, as I played you the audio earlier in this podcast, claimed had been corrected. Wasn't, since it didn't happen. What does this show you when a sitting governor continues to lie like this to try to divert? There's a huge, massive, wampin bunch of fraud here. And folks, keep in mind, both Donald Trump and Elon Musk this week have said, no, 6,600 is low. There's at least 35,000 illegal immigrants registered on the federal voter rolls in New Jersey. Now, keep in mind, 400 of the 6,600 voted. So the actual number is 35,000. You can see where this is going. Now, New Jersey has been hiding its voter rolls from the Trump administration, refusing to turn them over. Well, this gave the DOJ all the hooks it needed to launch a criminal investigation, meaning they're not going to be able to hide the voter rolls anymore. Now, you might be wondering, why would New Jersey do this? They're not a swing state. They're a solid blue state. In fact, Three of the four are solid blue states, yes, but solid blue states still have Republican congressional districts in them, or they would if it wasn't for the fraudulent voting. Folks, this is the thread. This is the string you pull. And let me tell you what future podcasts I do on this will say. I already know how this story is going to go because the outlines of this operation are already very clear and it's coming together. Democrats provide the illegal registrations of illegal immigrants. Yes, but also of the dead and ghost voters. Those are non-real people. And they fail to clear the dead. They deliberately fail to clear those who have moved states. Very easy to detect them. Almost everyone files change of address with U.S. mail. That's how, if you were an enterprising Democrat election thief, what would you do? You just go pull the U.S. mail list and run it against your voter database to see who you can vote for. And that's exactly what's going to happen here. We're going to find out, first of all, it was far more than 400 illegals who voted. And then we're going to find out that these illegals genuinely, the vast majority of them, have no idea they voted. That's because China or the Democrats or both voted for them. See how this works? You just need the dead registrations for it to work. Folks, you can't be voting, even if you're China, you can't be fake voting for people who show up to vote. Because if a number of, you know, if you have hundreds of thousands of people across the country showing up to vote and finding out somebody already voted for them, yeah, the stuff's going to hit the fan. You need people who will never show up to vote. You need people who, even if they did for some reason, would never say a thing about it. People like illegal immigrants. So anyway, John Solomon of Just the News nailed how historic this is and how this is really very much going to be like a snowball rolling down the hill for the Democrat Party. It'll gain steam and get bigger as it goes until they can't stop it. And what you're seeing Trump do right now is put all of this out here. Even if he can't stop all of it before the election, this is a warning. We're watching. We know how you do it, which means we know where to look for it. Maybe want to think 2, 3, 4 times before you try to steal 26 or 28.
Last night, the New Jersey governor admitted that 6,600 illegal aliens had made it onto New Jersey's voter rolls. At least that number, it could be a lot larger. And 400 of them actually cast a vote. That is the largest number of foreigners ever to vote in any collection of an election in American history. When we told you that last night, the governor said, not our fault. It was a software glitch. No big deal. Well, overnight, we reached out to the software company that runs New Jersey's system. And you know what they said? There's no software glitch at all. The state of New Jersey knew they were putting non-citizens, i.e. foreigners, onto the voter rolls. It is the state's responsibility to determine who is eligible to vote and who's not. The software had it marked right. That is a major contradiction. And just a little while ago, the Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights in the U.S. Justice Department, Harmeet Dhillon, announced that there is an investigation of New Jersey now into whether they knowingly were allowing non-citizens to vote and to get on the voter rolls. Remember, a week ago, she sent a letter out saying, if you let non-citizens vote knowingly, you're in trouble. Well, now the vendor's comments raise the very strong possibility that one of the blue states in America may have acceded to allowing non-citizens to vote.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
The journey? It starts here at your local ballpark. On the fields where dreams are born.
All right, fellas, here we go.
Every swing, every step, every moment, it all counts. The fundamentals kids learn today, they build the skills and confidence for tomorrow. Pitch, hit, and run. Find a local competition near you and sign up at pitchhitrun.com. Let the journey begin. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.